We're going to be looking at a series titled The Roots of Lasting Relationships. I'm going to pick, for the sake of context, I want to pick a portion from Ephesians 4, from verse 1 down to verse 4. Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible says, I therefore, give it to us in NLT, Paul was speaking to the church in Ephesians. He says, therefore I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to live a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God. Verse 2. Now, talking about living the life, look at what he now said. He said, always be humble and what? And gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Did you see that? Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Still talking about the life, verse 3. Always keep yourselves. He said, make every effort. I like that part. Praise God. Make every what? Effort. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit. Binding yourself together with what? With peace. Peace. You know, the Bible says in the book of Matthew, say, blessed are the what? Are the peacemakers. For what? Huh? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the what? The sons of God. So, one of the attributes of the God person is what? Is peace. Peace. Now, verse 4. He said, for there is one body, one spirit, just as you have been called to what? One glorious hope of the future. Praise God. Father, we receive these words. We receive instructions. We receive understanding. We are asking you that you will help us. You will enable us. You will help us to understand. And at the end of this series, we'll be furnished, we'll be nourished, and we'll be strengthened to build solid relationships. We trust you, O God, because there is utterance. We trust you because there is simplicity. We trust you because there is plainness and clarity, to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name, we pray. The rules of relationship. You must understand that one of the reasons why God did not create different species of men and then breathe his spirit into them differently. You know, it would have, you know, the way they do, they raise armies. For some of you that have watched all these alien movies, all these science fictions, you know, there's a way they clone. Just different, and then put life into them. You know, God could have just mold Stephen, mold Toby, mold Kay, and then mold all the people he wanted. Are you following me? And then just stood in one place and breathed into all of them. Should be all of them, they will be human beings. Praise God. But that was not what God did. God had to make sure that every human being had the same what? The same source. Think about it. God had to make sure that every human being had what? The same source. He created one and decided that out of that one, the many others will what? Will come. Look at your neighbor, say it's a principle. Everybody say connection. Why? Because everybody to be what? Connected. The word relationship simply means connection. So you must understand that at the depth of God's heart, when creating humans, was that he wanted everybody to be what? To be connected. Praise God. Hallelujah. So not only did he make sure that every human being came from the same man, Adam, he also made sure that the life every human being had was from the same breath. His breath. Glory to God. So you must understand that relationship is very, very vital in the hands, in the heart of God. Now that's number one. Number two, you must understand that everything that God wants done on earth will be done by the partnership of one or two people. Can I say that again? God believes in partnership. God believes in connections. God believes in harmony. God believes in people working together. Praise God. Remember the Tower of Babel. He said, this which they have what? Set out to do. Nobody will stop them. Everybody say connection. A connected people are a strong force. Can I say that again? A connected people are a what? Are a strong force. I can't remember the verse of scripture, but somewhere in Proverbs, was it Proverbs or Ecclesiastes? But I think it's Proverbs. He said, whether there are four things that God hates, and the five he cannot stand. One of them is the one that sows discord among people. I don't know if you remember that verse in Proverbs. Somebody can help me check it out. He said, God does not stand the person that what? That sows what? Discord. He hates it. You know what the Bible is trying to say there? God abhors disconnection. Glory to God. God abhors. He hates it. That was the reason the moment he looked at man in Genesis, the Bible says he saw that the wickedness of man was what? Was great. Now, why was the wickedness of man great in God's eyes? Man found it difficult to love his what? His fellow man. And because of that, the Bible says God said, I will wipe. And so I will take note. By the time God was to wipe, he still spared the family. Somebody say connection. Praise God. Proverbs 6, verse what? Verse 19. What did the Bible say there? A false witness, start from verse 17. Okay, look at it. Verse 16. God bless you. He said, there are six things, the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. Are you seeing it? So among them, what's the first? 17. Haughty eyes. Can you give it? Okay, this is NLT. Haughty eyes. That is somebody that is too proud. Praise God. Lying tongue. Hands that kill the innocent. 18. A heart that plots evil. Feet that race to do wrong. Then 19. What did you say in verse 19? A false witness who pours out lies. Now, this one, he now said he detests it. Hallelujah. Hello? He said he hates the six. He said, but the seventh one, he what? He detests. He said, a person who what? Who sows discord in a family. You know what he's trying to say here? A person that brings disconnection. So you must understand that at the depth of all God does, is connection. Somebody say relationship. You know what Jesus told them when they said he was preaching by Beelzebub? He said, see, you don't understand kingdom. He said, a house divided against itself shall not what? Shall not stand. So you must understand that relationship ranks high in the heart of God. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, relationships is highly rated in the heart of God. Secondly, like I was to say, you must also understand that whatever God will channel through to your life will always come by virtue of people. The preacher said there is nothing new under the earth. So listen to me, brothers. Whatever God will channel to you must come by virtue of what? Relationship. Relationships. Every time God seeks to do a thing on the earth, he uses people. And not just people. United people. Glory to God. So you must understand that relationship is not just divine. Relationship is also needed for earthly progress, earthly advancement. I was reading a writing by Rick Joyer, this prophetic move for the 21st century. There's a book Rick Joyer did. I've been on it for some days now. And there was something he said while I was speaking a line today. He said something. He said that nobody likes killing like the devil. Because devil wants to populate hell. And he understands that the easiest way for him to keep hell populated is to what? Is to kill people. That's the reason why he always incense war. Praise God. But if you go and check, if Satan wants to cause war in a community, is it birds that he will send to the king of the community? And the bird will just fly past the king. Boom. The king will just turn and just say, I'm going to fight. Is that what he does? No. The first thing he will do is to steer up somebody that will sow what? Discord. Somebody that will bring disconnection. And so the moment that disconnection starts, the next thing that will happen is we want to fight. I always tell people, I say, check. Every major conflict in life is always put on by a small fire. Everybody say small fire. So if we will get the best of relationships, it is important, therefore, as kingdom citizens, we must understand the rules, the principles that governs relationship. Look at your neighbor, say principles. I always believe, sir, that everything in life operates by reason of what? Principles. Everything has principles. And listen to me. If you are not a lover of principles, be sure you will not get the best out of life. Because everything responds to what? There is a particular pattern. Things must be done. There is a particular system. There is a way things must be done. That's the reason why I tell people, I said living your life and putting your trust in circumstances you cannot control is the reason why so many people are living by faith and not by F-A-T-I. Can I say that again? The reason why so many people are living by faith, F-A-T-E, is because they believe that life is mysterious. How many of you believe life is mysterious? There is nothing mysterious about life. Everything works by what? Everything works by what? You didn't say it well. Everything works by what? Everything in life. Spiritually, there are principles. Emotionally, there are principles. Soulishly, there are soulish principles. And the good thing about principles is this. When you apply them, you get their results. So if you are here peradventure, you've not been getting the best out of relationships, please don't miss any part of this series. Because I'm going to be trusting God to help me to present to you all the principles by which relationships, earthly relationships, relationship between fellow humans, be it marriage, be it job, be it career, be it spiritual, all of them, they apply, they work by the same. Everybody say the same. The same principles. So what are the rules? Rule number one. Let's move on now. Now before I talk about rule number one, there is a quote I saw somewhere. Please look up. I want us to look at this. It said, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Deep. Keep reflecting on it. Because there are a lot of us that are looking for love. But this young man here says something. He said, it's not your task to seek for love. But you should just sit down and for instance, you just need to sit down and ask, could it be possible that it's not that people can't love me, but I've built certain walls. Someone say certain walls. And during the course of some of these rules, I will show you how some of these walls were built. And you know why some people are not lovable. Praise God. I checked the meaning of the word lovable yesterday. In the dictionary, he said something. He said, lovable is somebody that have the traits that makes others easily love them. So you must understand that some people are not lovable simply because there is a spirit that makes them hateable or lovable. Some people are not hateable because there is a garment on them that makes them to be hateful or resentful. It could be some words. Somebody say some words. I'm trusting God that during the course of this period, as we begin to look at loving one another, walls will break in Jesus' name. You didn't say it the way I want. I said walls will break in Jesus' name. Because one thing is to love people, but another thing is for the people that you are to love to receive the love. Praise God. So he said, don't just seek for love, but think about those walls you have built. So the number one principle, the first rule for loving others is that you must be ready to let go. Rule number one for building lasting relationship, be ready to let go. Look at your neighbor, say, be ready to let go. Be ready to let go. To let go of what? To let go of yourself. Hallelujah. You must be ready to let go of yourself. You must understand that if you are not ready to give others permission into your world, you are not ready to live. Can I say that again? If you are not ready to give others permission into your world, you are not ready to live. You know, I used to hear some people say, see, I don't joke with my space, so I like my space. When you don't hear somebody make that statement too much, check very well. These people have built walls. Everybody say walls. Those space now walls, they don't build. The starting point of building relationships, be ready to let go of yourself. He said the first thing, remember the first thing he said? When in that Proverbs we read, the first thing that I said God hates, a haughty what? A haughty eyes. You know what a haughty eyes mean? Somebody whose eyes is always on him, himself. Now only himself in the sea for everything. Now only himself. So if you are the type that now only yourself you won't see, forget relationship. Praise God. Because the number one rule of connecting with people is that you must be ready to let go of yourself. Why? Let me give you some reasons. Isolation accounts for a higher proportion of depression and suicide. Isolation. Let's talk about isolation. Why do you think people isolate themselves? And don't forget, for those of you that have studied cases of suicide, people that commit majority of the time, one in every three persons that is isolated, they end up committing suicide. Because the moment you think that nobody can offend me, nobody should offend me, nobody should hurt me, nobody should do anything to me that is wrong. Now, the next thing you want to do is to always be on your what? On your own. Nobody come near my space. And the Bible says, it's not good for a man. Praise God. People think that it's only for marriage. Hello? You know, all God did when he said, I will make for man a helpmeet. He just wanted to solve the man's highest level of boredom. Because man's highest level of boredom is not having somebody to help him. Hello? The highest level of boredom in life is not having somebody to what? To help you. That's the... Now, why do people commit suicide? The moment they become what? Helpless. And if God is going to help you, he will send Angel Michael, Angel Gabriel, or in Jehuri. Huh? Wake up, sister. No. The angel that God will send to you in your boredom is wrapped in human form. So that's why the starting point of building sound relationship is to let go of yourself. Because if you isolate yourself, you will only be thinking about your problems. But it is only relationship that shows you the part of you that you've not even known. I'll say that again. Most of us knew certain parts of us by the people we related with. There are certain things about myself I wouldn't have appreciated if I never had the privilege of joining fellowships. Oh, what do you think fellowship is? It's the relationship. For instance, the day you came and then Pastor Ken looked at you and said, wow, your voice is fine, but all this while you've been what? Isolated. And then one day you are given the mic to lead worship and the atmosphere is what? It's saturated with God's presence. And after the service, somebody walk up to you, say, you did well today. Now what happens to you? A part of you what? Comes alive. I have this belief that there are parts of us that God reserves in our relationships. Hello? So meaning if you stay isolated for a longer period of life, there are lots of things about you you will never come into. And that's the reason why isolation, ostracization, and depression always leads to what? Victimization and suicide. Because if you don't give me permission to come into your space, I may not even have the permission to tell you certain things about your what? Yourself. Am I correct? If you never allowed some of the people you allowed into your life, do you think your life would have been this glorious? The good things of God are hid in men. Look at your neighbor, say, become vulnerable. Yes. The part that's rule number one. I wanted to write it as be vulnerable. But you know, when people will just say, be vulnerable, say, has come again. So I said, let go of yourself. But in the real sense, the point I am trying to make, sir, is that if you want to build relationships, be vulnerable. Look at your neighbor, say, be vulnerable. Now, why? Because the fear of being insulted, the fear of being hurt, and the fear of being betrayed remains the reason so many today, including believers, hold themselves back from coming into relationships. Can I say that again? One of the reasons for people not get friend, I've discussed, started with some, when they come to church, you know, like on Sunday you were saying everybody should interact. For where? Some people will not release their phone number. Because the last time they did it, they knew where it landed them. It is only a dead man that will say he has never been offended. Even some people now offense carry them go their death. You must understand that nothing has hindered so many of enjoying the joy of relationships like the fear of being hurt. Hello? The fear of being betrayed. The fear of being wounded. Some people have pride that they are what? That they are preserving. Nobody should hurt my pride. And the truth is, as long as you have pride that shouldn't be hurt, as long as you have traits that shouldn't be betrayed, or you have salt that shouldn't be insulted, hello? You just need to live long. Somebody will hurt it one day. Why? The truth is, as long as you are in this Satan hijacked world, not just sin hijacked, I wanted to change it. Not just sin hijacked, Satan what? Hijacked world. Look up everybody. As long as Satan is still the prince of the power of the air, look at your neighbor, say, expect offense. As long as you are in this sin hijacked world, you cannot expect not to be what? Offended. You cannot expect not to be hurt. You cannot expect not to be betrayed. You cannot expect not to be disappointed. The question you just need to ask yourself, who? Assuming it was in WhatsApp, I would have put an emoji there that do my hand like this. busted. Sir, that's the truth. Look at your neighbor, say, be vulnerable. Jesus preached this message over and over again. Let's pick the first one, Luke chapter 17, verse 1. Let's read from verse 1. One day, Jesus said this to his disciples, there will be what? There will be temptations to sin. Give it to us in King James Version. Like the way King James put it. Huh? Look at it. He said, Jesus said unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that what? Offenses will come. He said, but woe unto him through whom they what? They come. Verse 2. Jesus, first and foremost, established the inevitability of offense. Look at your neighbor, say offenses are inevitable. He said, if it were better for him that a millstone were hung about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should what? Offend one of these little ones. Verse 3. Take heed to yourself. You know one thing I like about Jesus? He has to prepare your mind ahead of time. That's what I'm telling you. Make up your mind ahead of time that you will be offended. Torch is laughing. No, see, sir, this is the truth. Am I on track, sir? Make up your mind. You know, sometimes when people come and meet me and say, hey, he offend me, why will he of all people? He of all people. Is he a human being? Can he breathe? Does he have a soul? This is body. Is it Adamic? And blood is in his body. Wake up. He will offend you. I like you, sir. Again and again. He said, of all people, he's now pastor. Jesus said it. Hello? Jesus knew the inevitability of betrayal. So when he even came among the people he called, he even called his betrayer join. You didn't hear what I just said. See, sir, Christ knew that right in human's nature. In John 2, he said it. He said, he know humans are. In Luke 4, he said it. He said, no humans are. So even when he was calling, he even called the one that what? Betray him. Case closed. Look at the neighbor, say case closed. If you don't have a betrayer in your life, you are not ready to leave. Write it down. Hello? It's normal. You must. You make up your mind. The good thing about it is this. Look at what Jesus said. He said, now, take heed to yourself. He has already said it is inevitable for what? Offenses to come. He now begins to give you the right posture. Everybody say the right posture. And the right posture is what I call rule number one. Be vulnerable. It's normal. Praise God. He said, now, take heed. He now said, look at what he now said. He said, if thy brother, he did not say if thy enemy, sir. If thy brother, how many times? He said, if he offends you, he said, rebuke him. That is, tell him what you, I don't like what you do. He now went on to say again. He said, if he repents, forgive him. Everybody say elastic. Everybody say exercise. Go to the next verse. You've not seen anything. What's the next verse? Verse 5. Okay, verse 4. He now said, if he trespasses against you 7 times a day, some people, I've never offended them twice a day. Now, only the first time, they don't provoke. Somebody said it, they pay. The reason why it is pain is because you did not wake up in the morning expecting it. Because pain is easier tolerated when it is expected. No, there are some pain we expect. When a woman is going to labor, praise God. People are nodding their head. Every of the antenatal, the midwife will be telling you, woman, be ready to push. It's painful, but you must push it. But the woman begins to prepare his what? His mind. How many of you know that the ability to take offenses in life is a mind thing? It's not the offender thing. Stop thinking that everybody will just be nice and good looking. Be preventing your leg from wounding. Some will be putting the salt and be putting salt inside. They will inflict the injury and they will still be the one to put the salt. See, I pray for you on your way to your destiny. God should bring those kind of people in your life. Because those kind of people are the ones that wake you, your reality to life. No, you don't need to say amen. Because, listen, the higher you will go in life, the more fearers God will bring your way. Because nothing hinders people from making it to the top except offenses of people. You don't understand. Offenses are normal. Jesus is telling you, 7 times a day, your brother offend you. 7 times he comes back for mercy, forgive him. Or more. Look at your neighbor and say, I receive grace. No, that one is, he said, thou shalt forgive him. It's a law. Anytime you see thou shalt in the Bible, what did I say? And the apostle said, increase our faith. Let me give you another one. You've not even seen anyone. This one is just the intro. Matthew chapter 18. Does your Bible have Matthew 18? Because some people, they want to delete it from their Bible. Yes, I saw it. So people are praying I should forget it. I will not. Matthew 18 verse 21. What did the Bible say? Then Peter came to him and said, how often? So Peter was not like, that one he said 7 times. Was a day. Man of God. That 7 times he said, it's not that how many times should a brother offend you in his life. No. He said a day on is 7 times. Give us the next verse. He now said, verse 22. Jesus said, I say not unto thee until 7 times. No. But until 70 times. Look at your neighbor. Offenses are inevitable. So that's what he's trying to what? Establish. So what should be your attitude to offense is not the not is not not being offended. That one is already, we've crossed that sea. Hello? I will offend you, sir. I pray for you. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. The way I need you to survive, some days I will offend you. Register it ahead. No, but I now like the way the Bible now puts it in Colossians 3 verse 13. He knows Paul still preaching what Jesus preached. He said, make allowance. Offenses are normal. 490 times or more. Everybody say allowance. Make it. The challenge is that some people allowance, no big. Praise God. So people allowance, it's like this. And the kind of people that are staying around them, they are not even nice at all. Praise God. Before 8 o'clock, they sit all full. Have you not noticed some people? Every afternoon, their face is always moody. Somebody say, make allowance. Meaning, every day you wake up, your desire should be, I take heed. I what? So it's not prayer. He said, take heed. Meaning, be ready for it. So meaning, we walk every day with the consciousness that people will surely offend us. So their offenses don't come to us by what? By surprise. But what will surprise us is how we will now what? Will now respond. Look at your neighbor, say, build capacity for offenses. There's something I would still like to say. The same way Satan will use people to offend you is the same way God also uses people to flow good things in your life. Am I correct? Now, you see the challenge. Satan knows that God would not do anything on this earth except by people. And he also knows that the things God wants to use you to accomplish in life will be connected to people. So he makes sure that the greatest offenses you get are from people that are close to you. So you know what he's trying to do? Everybody says he's trying to create a blockade. Jesus came to save man, but he already made up his mind that it was the same people that he was going to save that was going to kill him. So he already made allowance. John chapter 2, the last two verses. You see it? You see what the Bible said? This was after he had performed a miracle. The Bible says Jesus did not what? Commit himself to them. You know, imagine feeding that kind of crowd in a wedding. People want to be his friend. I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. You know, when you are on your good moments, people like you. TDJs will always say something. He said, when you are liking somebody, know that you are liking two people. The good and the what? And the bad. He said, the only time the relationship will work is when you cope with the what? With the two. You know, the challenge with some of you is that you cope with the good in others, but you don't cope with their bad. Their bad easily what? Gets at you. That's why it's very, very easy for you to count many bad that somebody has done to you. But you forget all the what? All the goods. So you must understand that offenses are inevitable in life. So the same way God uses people to flow good things to us, the same way Satan will use relationships to distract us. Either way, listen to me, you must be willing to be vulnerable. I'll round up with this. Proverbs 18 verse 24. The Bible says, any man that must have friends, any man that must have friends, must learn to show himself what? Friendly. But you know the good news. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He said, a man that had friends. Do you need friends in life? Do you need connections? The word friend there means connection. There are people that God has positioned on your path to take you to your next level. There are people God has positioned to help you to grow in all ramifications. But the truth is, inside of them, offenses. Now the challenge is, the truth of the matter is, they don't deliberately want to what? Offend you. But because of the nature of the human spirit, and the human soul especially, still going through what? Transformation. He doesn't know how to process things by the Spirit. Because there are some things I will do to Toby and I will not feel it. But maybe if I do it to Enena, Enena will provoke. Now the problem is not what I did. The problem is the receptivity that both of them have. But the truth is that receptivity is from the soul. The moment the soul is transformed, we all can love equally. Look at your neighbor and say, we can love equally. I will not be afraid. If he has the Spirit of God in him, he has the Spirit of God in him, she has the Spirit of God in him, I will not be afraid that you'll be offended. Do you know why? The Spirit of God is able to regulate your offense level. That's why the Bible says, because we have the Spirit in Colossians chapter 3. So let us put our eyes on the things that are what? Above. You must understand this. It is only when you have voluntarily released yourself to others, even when you know that they will hurt you, that you can eventually start enjoying relationships. Can I say that again? It is only when you are voluntarily. You know, we give some people permission to offend us and we don't pick offense. There are sometimes, even in all this spiritual father relationship we talk about, it's not everything that I do to you that you like. There are some things I do to you, even if your father do it to you, you provoke. But how come you are able to take it? You know why? You have given yourself voluntarily to what? You are vulnerable to me. Listen to me. I submit before us, church. The reason why many of us are still being offended, we have not let go of ourselves. I look at somebody, I say, listen to me. The only time you will be free from offense is if you let go of yourself. Apostle Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. The goal of spiritual discipline, the goal of spiritual growth, sir, is less of us and more of him. That's why we are saying, walk in the Spirit. Because the only time, some things, you think some things they did to him or they did to me, stop paining me. I was sharing with someone. I told the person the pains I've been through in life. You know, so I shared it with someone then, and the person was looking at me and said, "Oh, God, you try. You. So you mean you've been through all the? You, see, you look at us. We are loving because we have died to our life. Hurt me as much as you can. If the pain is paining me too much, I will cry to the Holy Ghost. And before I will finish crying, it will heal me. It will increase my capacity to love more. So tomorrow you do it to me. Someone else do it to me. It doesn't pay me. Some of the things you do to me don't pay me now because 5 years ago, some persons did it to me. It pains me, but the Holy Ghost enlarged my capacity with it. Look at your neighbor. I choose to love again. I choose to be vulnerable again. I've seen people make statements like, in that church, they offended me. They did this to me. I will never love anybody in that church. Or more, you're never ready. Leave that church and go to another place. I'm not see at a liar. Much more, sir. We keep running away looking for where we are free. Listen to me, sir. There is no free zone anywhere. The only free zone is when you die to hurt. Ah, Shadabaya. The only free place in life, when you get to that point like Paul, all this I count as dung. And you know what I like about Paul? He said, our light affliction. He considered the pain, the buffetings, the killings, the beatings. He calls it light. Only one thing could have made him to call it light. He has made up his mind. The day you start dying, sister, what people do to you will no longer pain you. The day you make up your mind to crucify yourself and all his passion, what people do to you will no longer. As a matter of fact, when they finish doing it to you, you just smile and say, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Case closed. Place your two hands on your head and say, Lord, I let go of myself. I let go of myself. There are some of you, you hold to things too much. You can't let go and let God. You think to get to that point where you pray for your enemies, you think it is by flesh? The spirit cannot do the work if you don't let go. Let go, sister. Be willing to take the pains. Be willing to take the hurts. Expect it. Let him come. And then when it comes, you go down on your knees and say, Father, take this off me. I can't do it on my own.